The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 12th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
you, Lord Christ. Please be seated. There's a children's book that caught my attention this last week that I want to read to you. It's called An Awesome Book of Thanks by the author Dallas Clayton. And it begins like this. "There didn't used to be anything, but now there's a lot. For when I look around at all we've got, I say thank you. Thank you for the sun above. Thank you for the friends I love. Thank you for the food to share. Thanks for the trees and thanks for the trains. And for the breeze and for the rain. Thanks for the books to fill my brain. Thank you, thank you, thank you." More of that book later. Now, some of Jesus's parables are hard to figure out, either by contextual, translation, foreign language. What is Jesus saying? And this one is on the line for me. What is so foolish about this farmer, I ask. Now, I have never farmed before, and I know that there are a lot more experts in this congregation on farming than myself. But to anyone, I think, reading this parable, reading this story, it seems logical that if you have a good harvest, you want to build bigger barns in order to store your harvest in, right? So not only is this logical, but it's prudent. What if a bad harvest happens next year? Isn't it good for this farmer to plan ahead? Thank you. Thank you, ocean deep and desert dry and mountain steep and pigs and cows and ducks and sheep and horses, geese and hens and foxes, dachshunds, oxen and snakes, magic rocks and lucky breaks, having all the time it takes and boxes for pretend, balls to kick and kites to fly, and places to go when you want to cry, and people to find you never met, and things to wish you might never get." This farmer does, it seems, a lot of things right, but remains a fool. Perhaps then, the wisdom of William Shakespeare can shed a little bit of light on this parable when Shakespeare writes, "A fool thinks himself wise, but a wise man knows himself to be a fool." You know, I think this parable would read much differently if one piece were added. Perhaps it would read like this, starting at verse 18. Then the farmer said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. I will take a break, celebrate, and share with my family and neighbors, and give special thanks to God for this incredible blessing. Sounds a little bit different, doesn't it? The farmer, I think, in this parable, was not a fool because he didn't farm well or he didn't plan, or he might have even not shared well with others. He might have. This farmer was a fool because he didn't hit the pause button. He didn't acknowledge that these gifts came from beyond himself. The children's book continues. Girelephants in silly hats, skipping rope with jungle cats, and alligator acrobats, thank you, thank you, thank you. And friendly folks in every state, thanks to them, they're all so great. And thanks to cities and countries too, like Australia, Sweden, France, and Peru. And to planets like Saturn, Venus, and Mars. I've never been there, but they don't seem so far. To moms and dads and sisters and brothers, teachers and doctors and artists and others, who make all of our lives so much better for living. Thanks to music, dancing, singing, and giving. I come from a family who said grace every meal growing up. And this was pretty cool, except when our family went out in public to a public restaurant. And I would be so embarrassed by being a high school or junior high person, and all the food would come at this public restaurant, and all four of us would take this time to say, come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. Let these gifts to us be blessed. How many times do we hit the thanks pause button? Because it's hard to do. I don't know if many of you are aware, but the iPhone 6S just came out a couple months ago. And the New York Times reported that there were several hundred people who camped out in front of the New York Apple store just to be the first ones to buy a smartphone. Now, can you imagine one of these people, after purchasing this beautiful iPhone 6S, on their way out of the store, getting down on their knees and thanking God for all of the design work, all of the labor, all of the materials, all of the effort that went into this new iPhone? They would be deemed as absolutely crazy. It's interesting to me then how our society rewards the devotion and sometimes borderline absurd work of camping out in a tent 24 hours in front of a store in New York City just to buy an iPhone, and not for pausing in order to look beyond ourselves and give thanks in our everyday lives. For our reality is that no matter how much we have, we are always aware of things that we don't have. That's the culture that we live in. We always are working to build bigger barns and have no time to stop and ponder our many blessings. But let's get deeper. What does a Thanksgiving break mean? You know, it's all nice and well for the pastor to stand up here and to say, oh, take a break. Just give thanks. But what does it mean to actually take a break of thanks? Well, I think we can start with the word steward. Steward, it's a word that we've been throwing around this past month or so. And it's an interesting one because the word comes from many origins. But one such origin that I believe is most interesting for us this morning is in its old English roots. You see, steward is the combination of two words. The first one being stig, or house, hall. The second word being word. That is literally translated as guardian, or watcher, or can also be translated as looking over or caring for. Literally, the word steward means looking out and remembering one's connection to their household. For one cannot be a steward, even in the most basic of ways, without remembering and being connected to more than just themselves. All of us are stewards in this sanctuary today. All of us are connected and caring for our various households today. And it is in then the action of giving thanks. It is in the action to pause, which fundamentally allows us and empowers us to be stewards. Being a steward begins at taking a pause of thanks. And so that is what our worship today, Celebration Sunday, is hopefully about. To take time to celebrate the beauties of creation, the blessings of all of our gifts that feed the world, that recognize all of the blessings of the household of our church today. So how then do we, beyond this worship, personally hit the Thanksgiving praise button? How do you give thanks? It's so easy, we see these things every day, to forget to say thank you in every way, our children's book says. Thanks for patience, hopes and rewards and revisions, wizards and lizards and delightful decisions. Thanks for taking time. Thanks for going fast. Thanks for jumping high. Thanks for finishing last. Because first isn't always the best place to be. Thanks for second and fifth on through 453. Thank you for big things like gigantic dino machines and to small things and all things that fall in between. Even bad things. Those bad things can turn out to be good. Those bumps and bruises that turn couldn'ts into coulds. Thank you to those who make us all stronger, that make us all smarter and make us last longer. So long that we make up new things for new thanks. New things that can climb so high in the ranks that we thank them without even telling them thanks. Thank you to all of those who ever existed. Everything else that I could have never listed. There didn't used to be thank yous, so thank you for those. Thank yous in languages I don't even know. Thank you for the kisses and thank you for the hugs. From a part of my heart that is full of love, I say thank you to those for just being yourself. Yourselves are important as anything else. So thank you, my child, as you read these last lines. Remember to thank you when someone is kind, because thank you is what makes the world keep spinning. So thank you, the end, and thanks, new beginning. I pray that we take the time to give thanks to all of our blessings today. And I pray, my fellow stewards, that you celebrate and give the gift of these blessings from God to others, with your households and with the world. Amen.